You're listening to the Quince Podcast. Hi Dar, welcome to the Quint.
Hey, hey, hi Bira. My name is Dargai. I'm a writer, director, producer. I'm co-founder of Jugaad Motion Pictures. And for the last 12 years, I've been living in India. And we're making feature films, series, music videos here.
Hey people, main hoon Abira Dhar. Listen, you better buckle up because you have reached the one and only podcast where India's favorite stars love to hang out in their raw, uncut and uncensored avatars. Whether you are a movie buff, starry-eyed or simply a curious cat, you're sure to get hooked on real quick. Why? Cause itni starry baate.
Let's start with a very obvious question. Dar, how are you keeping in touch with your family and, like you said, the Indian students there? How difficult is that and how are you doing it?
And it's been quite tough because my entire family is there and every day I'm just trying to coordinate with them, trying to coordinate with Indian students who stuck in different cities in Ukraine, in Kyiv, Sumy, Kharkiv, Lviv. And it's been tough. I mean, because of social media, I am able to be in touch with most of the students who needed our help. We had 135 students stuck off in Kyiv who, through different people, through different volunteers, we tried to understand what exactly help they need. Of course, with my mom, I'm in touch every day. I'm talking to her, I'm calling her, I'm messaging her. And Till now, the connection is quite good. Of course, unless Russians will try to do it, you know, to destroy all the stations there. But till now, it's been okay.
Can you tell us how has daily life been affected there? What are your parents saying? What is happening?
I don't think that there is any like daily life now. You know, it's not local conflict, which will, let's say, would be happening in one part of the country. I mean, the war in Ukraine, to be honest, is happening for the last 8 years. No one is talking about it. 8 years ago, Russians, they invaded the east side of Ukraine. They have invaded and occupied Crimea. And the war has been happening there. But entire Ukraine was not involved in it. Still Kyiv and other cities, they were continuing living their normal lives until the full invasion happened. And every day, all the cities are being bombarded. Kyiv, the capital, you know, of Ukraine, one of the most ancient cities in Europe, the cradle of cultures, being bombarded every day. I think even before the war started, when U.S. intelligence was spreading the information that there is a lot of Russian troops around Ukraine, all my friends, my family, were sure that no matter what, I mean, they will not bombard Kyiv. Come on, you know, like who in 21st century can bombard just like European city? And then cut to, they're actually bombarding it. It's completely ridiculous. My grandmother, she refused to leave. She's in a village, which is just like 30 minutes from Kyiv. And she hears bombs, she sees the entire sky is red, she sees all the planes going back and forth, and she can hear shots. So I don't think that there is any peaceful life left in Ukraine.
Can you recall the first day you got in touch with your parents when the bombarding started? Can you tell us, give us details about that, and any disturbing incident that they saw or shared with you?
I think we were ready. When 3 days before the war started, we were ready that something will happen because the Russian army, they were coming closer and closer to the border, shamelessly lying to the world, saying that they are just there for practice on the territory of Russia and Belarus. But of course, I mean, we knew that they're lying. And then at some point of time, they start crossing. Now, when they start crossing, we thought that they will stop at the eastern area. And then I think it was 24th. I think like all my days are now mixed. My friend in the morning, she called me and she said that in 4 o'clock in the morning, Kyiv was bombarded. I think like first couple of days, I couldn't even speak. Like I couldn't reply to anyone. A lot of people messaged me. A lot of people called me, but I couldn't even like process the information, not being emotional. Right now, finally, after it was several days, I can talk about it. But it still doesn't sit right in my head that something like that happened. So, yeah, everything is disturbing. And we couldn't believe it. You know, some people start leaving, some people didn't want to leave. But what's the most incredible about Ukraine is that in no time, the entire country just got together and almost like created the army. Ukraine was not part of Russia. It was USSR. I can say Russia was part of Ukraine. Basically, it was USSR, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, right? And then when everything collapsed, of course, Ukraine got its independence in 1991. And Ukraine was always fighting for its independence throughout the history. But it's really inspiring how we see Ukraine is being reborn again as a nation, you know?
Like you said, your mother helped, you know, her family to escape, but she came back. Can you tell me what is going on in their head? Why are they staying back and not escaping or coming to you or trying to come to India?
I have a lot of friends and families who just completely refuse to leave because they say, if we leave, then who will help? My mom, when she came to the border, I really begged her just to cross the border. But then she's like, yeah, maybe I'll do it. But instead of that, she just contacted local volunteers. She took all the medicine that needed to be dropped to Kyiv because Kyiv is right now also under seizure. And then she, you know, drove for 15 hours back to Kyiv to help volunteers. And now she's in Kyiv along with my uncle, who is also helping there, a lot of people are still there, stuck in bomb shelters. They need water, they need medicine, they need food. So they're helping them out. My grandmother also refuses to leave because she says it's her land. She was born here. She was born in 1941. So when actually the Second World War in Ukraine started, in USSR started. And she's like, my family survived that and I will survive this. And it's my duty to be here. And when I call her the other day, I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just preparing Molotov cocktails at the age of like 78. So I think the spirit is really, really high and it's extremely inspiring.
What are they doing about food and stuff? Do they have stock in their house? People are out on the streets. What is happening? Is everybody in? Can you give me a clearer picture of it from your, whatever you're getting to know directly from your parents?
I think it depends which area we're talking about. The West is, as of now, more or less safe. Of course, even in the cities like Ivano-Frankivsk or Lviv, which is very close to the border with the Western countries, there is siren heard almost every day. But the food situation there is fine because the provision is being sent also from, let's say, Poland and Romania and other countries. So it's not a problem. Kyiv has a curfew time, so you can leave, I think today is from 10 in the morning to 5 in the evening, and then you can't step out. Shops are still working. There are a lot of queues, of course, but shops are working, volunteers are working, spreading food. The problems right now are in those cities that have humanitarian crisis, and those cities are Kharkiv, Sumy, Mykolaiv, which is on the east side, where Russians completely occupied it and then don't allow any provision to come in.
Can you tell me how people all over the world who are watching this can help? I'm talking about people like us can help and how can we help?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for us to understand is that it's actually not just Ukrainian war. It's everyone's war. Like, we need to understand that all of us will have to learn something from it. And first thing is that it's a first open European war, which has so much of propaganda from the Russian side. And of course, everyone has their own interests. And we need to start learning how to filter that propaganda. All of us, we have Instagram, we have TikTok, we have Telegram, we have Facebook. And we've been using it so actively for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. But have we learned how to filter it? Because if we don't learn how to filter it, any other, God forbid, further wars, we won't be able to do anything, because we'll just become puppets of any regime that will need, I don't know, command our brain, right? Because we are losing slowly ability to analyze. For example, I have family in Crimea. I have my grandmother and my father in Crimea. They are pro-Russians. They don't read anything. They don't watch anything apart of Russian news. So when I call them and I'm like, guys, do you want to ask me what's happening? And whether my family is safe? And they said, but what's happening? Nothing is happening. I'm like, what do you mean? There is a war. Like Russia, the country that has occupied the part where you are staying, that you accepted, started the war with Ukraine. He's like, oh no, it's just operation. I'm like, no, it's a war. And they are bombarding the cities. Like, oh, no, they don't bombard anything. They just bombard the strategical, like, army bases. I'm like, guys, right now, I just spoke to my mom, and she just saw the house being bombarded. She's like, oh, no, all this is just VFX. I'm like, guys, listen, let's just do a video call. I'll just show you what's happening outside. He's like, no, please just don't irritate us. You don't know what's happening. And at that point, and I have so many friends like that. I have my best friend who is also right now slightly away from Kyiv. Some of her family, they are in Russia. They call, same situation. They're saying that, they said that the war is happening. And they're like, no, there is no war in Ukraine. And the guys, right now, we're stuck. And they're stuck in Brovary, which is right now under like really bad seizure. 80% of Brovary is completely destroyed. And they said that we are the only house right now which is not being touched by the, you know, by the bomb. And it's like, oh no, all this is just your propaganda. And they're switching on the FaceTime and they're just showing it. And they're like, oh no, most probably some filter. And you're like, oh my God, guys, we're actually living. It's an absurd time, right? It's not just Russian propaganda. It's a complete brain damage that we have experienced by consuming information, by not learning how to read, by not learning how to filter. And I would say, and I'm telling this to all my students, to all my interns who joined Jugaad, that our task is to read books, our task to educate ourselves so that in future we can just separate truth from not truth, understand where is the propaganda and where is not propaganda. Because these examples, they are it just unbelievable. It's ridiculous. It's funny, you know. Second thing, of course, Abira, replying to your question about how we can help is donation. There are a lot of organizations to donate and Ukrainian army and people who are fleeing right now. So the main one that we've been donating for the last several days is called savelife.in.ua. And then, of course, just we need to spread the word. We need to talk to our friends. We need to, because guys, it's not just about Ukraine. If such big countries as Russia thinks that no sanctions, no other countries, no treaty. I remind you also that Ukraine has given up the nuclear weapon in order to be protected, right? But we are not protected. So that we understand that international law doesn't exist anymore. It's not any organization might not help you, right? If just a big aggressor will start the war. So now we have those big bullies. We have China, we have Russia. So if we don't stop them right now, they can go anywhere.
Okay. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is how, because I just got to know that, you know, your father is pro-Russian. How does it feel to have somebody from the family when they're seeing something like this to be divided? Dar, it must be really difficult for you, right?
I mean, you know, I think because they got divorced when I was 4 years old. So I don't have much of the attachment. And I was growing up on section in a joint family with my uncle, with my grandmother, with my aunt, with everyone. It was like 8 people in the in one flat. So when I came to India, I felt at home, to be honest. And when people ask me, so how do you find India and how different you find? I'm like, I don't find it different at all. Like I as soon as I stepped on the ground, I'm like, I'm at home.
And the last question, Dar, any family of yours has been hurt physically or is serving the troop in Ukraine?
No, but everyone, like all my family, the male members of the family, everyone joined the territory protection, which means that they were given the guns and, you know, they are either patrolling the city or they are on different parts, just standing there, making sure that Russian army, Russian soldiers will not come inside. So I think everyone has their own worries and their own responsibilities. And also, I keep saying that I have different people. I have friends who left. I have friends who left to another country. My aunt left another country. I have someone who stayed. I have someone who left Kyiv. I have someone who stayed in Kyiv. And I think each and every choice is right. Whether you decide to flee, whether you decide to stay, to fight, to hide, you're a hero. Because at this moment of time, we need to think about the future. We need to think strategically. What will we do once it's over? And how can we contribute to build even stronger country? You know, what can happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dar. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Abir.
If you like listening to this podcast, please share this episode and subscribe to Itni Sari Baatein. You can follow the playlist on Apple, Google, Spotify, JioSaavn, Gaana, or any of your preferred podcast streaming platforms. We will be back with a new episode next week, so sit tight and stay tuned.